morning. Overcast skies in downtown Wausau at our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Temperature stands at 65 degrees. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Tuesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9, and actually, we'll talk about this in a moment. Bow Falls Radio, 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, you can also join us by going to facebook.com and the Bow Falls Radio page and see a video stream of what we're up to as well. As I said, not 98.9 right now because we had some storms that rolled through and caused an issue at our FM transmitter site. It is being worked on. We hope to have it squared away sooner rather than later. But again, when you have a big stick that is up high, one of the higher areas here in north central Wisconsin, and you get that electricity, you get that storm, and you get knocked off the air. And so right now, in fact, it looks as though we had a choice to be made. I got in contact with our engineering staff, and we were trying to figure out what was going on. And one of the ideas is, hey, Chad, why don't you go up to Mosinee Hill, go up to the transmitter site, and reset a few things? And I said, well, I got to go on the air here in just a few minutes, so I can do that after my show is done. So that is kind of the plan. They'll continue to work on it, perhaps have one of our other engineers be able to get up here and hopefully get that squared away, maybe even before my show is done. But otherwise, once we get to 10 o'clock, there will be no rest for the weary. I'll be heading up to our FM transmitter site and hopefully get us back on 98.9 FM. But as I said, all the other ways, and that's one of the things about this era. We have so many different ways you can actually listen to us. And that's actually a good thing on a day like today because, yes, 98.9 is not on the air. And unfortunately, for some folks who are listening in, and I know some of the vehicles sometimes don't have the AM on their car radios. But the good news is if you are listening, somebody that normally listens on the radio, you're listening right now at 1230 AM. Of course, you can also tune in on our website at bowfallsradio.com, and then you can just hit the listen live button and listen in on your computer. Any mobile devices that you may have, to search WXCO, you can listen there, like the TuneIn radio app, the Simple radio app, and other radio apps. We are on those apps, and you can easily tune us in that way. And of course, now might be a great opportunity, if you haven't already done so, to get the Civic Media app. I've talked about this quite a bit. It is a fantastic piece of technology, and you will have all 20 of our Civic Media radio stations available. And if you haven't done so, do it right now. Get the Civic Media app wherever you download your apps, the Google App Store, Apple Play, whatever, Apple. I am not a good technology guy, to be honest with you, but wherever you get your apps, search out Civic Media. It is a free app. Download it, and then you'll see the fifth station down, Bow Falls Radio. Open it up, and you can listen live that way as well. So again, while we are not on 98.9 FM right now, there are so many other ways you can make sure you tune in, and we will make sure to get 98.9 fixed rather soon, sometime this morning. I can almost guarantee that. But coming up here on the program at 8:20, we again will be heading east over towards Oshkosh, because in Oshkosh this week at the big air show, the Air Venture over in Oshkosh, our meteorologist Brittany Merlot is hanging out, and we will talk to Brittany about what's happening in Oshkosh and also talk about the weather. Talk about, again, boy, when the rains come, they come in buckets. And again, last night we had some heavy rainfall and some storms here in north central Wisconsin. So we will find out what the forecast is for the rest of your Tuesday. And as we get towards the middle of the work week, we will be joined by Brittany Merlot coming up at 8:20. And then after an information update at the bottom of the hour, we'll get the news, weather, and sports as we do at the top and bottom of every hour. After that, at 8:34, we'll be talking to Kyle Kilborn. He is a Democratic candidate for the 7th Congressional District in central and northern Wisconsin. He is running for the opportunity to take on the incumbent Republican, Tom Tiffany. The primary will be held in mid-August. And we will have a chance to talk to Kyle Kilborn about his 7th district candidacy. In fact, today it's Kyle Kilborn, and then tomorrow we will have the other Democratic candidate for the 7th congressional district, Elsa Duranzo. So Elsa Duranzo is the second candidate. Or I shouldn't say they're equal candidates. There's not a first candidate, but in terms of this week, the first candidate we will have on at 8:34 this morning is Kyle Kilborn, and then we'll have the other candidate, Elsa Duranzo, tomorrow morning at 9:20 here on the program. So really a good opportunity as we get very close. We're just a few weeks away from primary election day, and then the Democrats will be able to choose their candidate to try and unseat Tom Tiffany in the 7th congressional district. So that is coming up again. Kyle Kilborn at 8:34 this morning. All right, take a deep breath. I've been running around making phone calls this morning, trying to figure out this 98.9 FM thing, and was on with Pat Kreitlow then and trying to multitask while I was talking to Pat. Now we can take a deep breath, get into the meat of the show, and the first thing that we always try to do here on the program is say good morning and say hello to our in-studio engineer, our in-studio producer on the other side of the glass here in downtown Wausau, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Morning, Chad.
All right. Yeah, you know, that's the thing about technology. You never know. And when you
it's
have
only
those.
Great when it works.
I know.
Right?
You get those storms that roll through all of a sudden. In the past, we've had an issue with our AM transmitter where FM would still be on the air, but the AM would be off the air. So I'd go over to the old place on East Wausau Avenue, and we would reset things and reset the transmitter. But in this case, it's at the FM transmitter site. And one thing that I prefer going to the old place than the AM site, because our site for the FM, it goes up the hill. And it's not an easy drive to get up to the site. And so it's one of those things where it's not going to be fun to try to go up this hill. It's not a paved road. There's all these sharp objects and rocks that deal with. So I can't say that I am exactly looking forward to that. But if I have to do so, we will. And we will reset whatever we have to reset and get us back on the air. But for you, how you feeling this morning?
I see I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, coming home from a rehearsal last night, I mean, I was walking into rehearsal and it felt pretty humid out there. And then by the time the rehearsal was over, I walked outside and I'm like, holy smokes, the temperature dropped like 15 degrees. And there was also the clouds in the sky, and I thought I was going to beat it. I thought I was going to beat the rain before I got home. Nope. As soon as I got halfway on the highway, it started coming down in sheets. And the lightning was pretty cool to see. And the rain got really heavy. I couldn't see very well, so I had to slow down, make sure I was careful. But then by the time I got home, it was wetting up a little bit and not as heavy. But
how did rehearsal go?
Rehearsals are coming along very nicely. I think I'm getting a better feel for my lines and a bit more understanding about my character. he's described as a pantaloon, which is basically another word for a buffoon. So.
What is it with these characters that you're playing? I tell you, it's a little bit of a sort of that kind of edgy, that kind of feel to it. Do you feel yourself more of a comedic performer than a dramatic performer, or one or the other? Does it matter to you?
You know, I would say that I'm probably more of a comedic actor. Like, I like to make people laugh. You know, I like to, you know, give the audience a smile. I like to have lots of fun, but I've never really had too much opportunity for a dramatic role yet. You know, I'm hoping that in later shows I can kind of step outside of my comfort zone and just kind of try a more dramatic and emotional character. You know, one who struggles more, just a character that's a little more, you know, harder for me to play at first, but definitely be worth the challenge.
Well, again, we're at basically we're getting less than a month away. Actually, yeah, less, but because it's like the 15th or something like that, or would that year open up?
I think it's only like
not that far off. You don't have much time, I tell you.
Yeah, we're just a little over 3 weeks away. So.
All right, well, continue to work well, and hopefully everything will go smoothly. And hopefully when you actually do have the show, it will not be an evening like last night where storms roll through.
Hopefully the weather will hold off a little bit.
Absolutely. So, again, we'll keep up to speed on your progress as we get closer and closer. Coming up, we will talk about the weather, talk about what we saw last night in terms of the storms, talk about the, again, the wet weather, and the possibility of more rain today. So, again, right now I look to my right, look out onto Washington Street here in downtown Wausau. Overcast skies. Normally we've been seeing a lot of sunshine in the morning, but right now overcast conditions, not raining, dry right now, and temperatures a very comfortable start at 65 degrees. Coming up next, we will head over to Oshkosh. That's where our meteorologist Brittany Merlot is hanging out this week. We'll talk to Brittany about the weather and more coming up in just over a minute. I'm Chad Holmes. The time is 8:18. It is the Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, also you can check us out on our Facebook page. Go to the Bull Falls Radio page at facebook.com and see a video of what we're doing, and also add your questions and comments there as well. And as wait a second, we saw her for a moment and now she's kind of disappeared on us. That's one of the things, but technology today is just causing us all sorts of issues.
Yeah,
let's see whether or not we can get Brittany Merlot back from Oshkosh and the EAA Air Venture, as she was there just a moment ago, and right now all we see is the circle as we are now trying to reconnect with Brittany Merlot. Brittany hanging out there all week long. We talked to her yesterday. We talked again yesterday as well about the fact that not only is she over there for the Air Venture, she is somebody that's actually studying to become a pilot and to be able to maybe in the future be part of the event over in Oshkosh. But also we need to talk about the weather. And as I spoke of earlier, we did have some significant storms that rolled through here, and be able to, I think maybe Brittany is almost ready to get back on here. Yep.
Yeah, just let me see if I can.
Let's bring her back on. There she is.
Hey, can you guys hear me good?
Yes, I can, Brittany. And the thing is, technology has not been our friend this morning. We got some of those storms that rolled through yesterday, kind of knocked off 98.9 on our transmitter site. And again, it's just, you never know with technology, but great to see you. It looks like you're right in the middle of it all again in Oshkosh.
Yes, I am down here right by the air traffic control tower where it says world's busiest airport, because it is right now and this week. I saw some air traffic controllers earlier on my way in this morning. They've got bright pink shirts. That's how you know they're hard at work. They're the only ones not having fun here this week, as they've got a lot of work to do, as tons and thousands of Air traffic control operations happen each day. I think it's 150 takeoffs or landings. So they've got a lot going on, but the weather behind me, it's been raining here this morning. We got a little lull at the moment, and I know you guys do as well. Mm-hmm. And actually, as we go through this afternoon, we're looking dry. Few spotty showers or storms could fire up between 1 to 5, but I really think it's going to stay south, more towards me here into Oshkosh. I don't think Wausau is going to see much of that at all. And of course, temperatures a little bit more comfortable into the mid-70s with more cloud cover out there.
This morning coming in, just the temperature was, it felt so good coming in today. I mean, I love these kind of temperatures during the midst of the summer. But again, I think we talked about this yesterday. When the rain comes, it comes. And again, it came down in buckets here yesterday. We need just one of those days where it's like a nice soft little rain. But boy, when the rain comes, it just has been coming down really hard and putting significant amounts of rain every time it seems as though we get precipitation here in central Wisconsin.
It sure has. It is not letting up. You know, we want a little bit throughout the week, not the heavy dumpings of about a half an inch, really rapidly localizing flooding, of course. But the good news is that I don't see much rain in the forecast for the rest of this week for us. So if we had to get it all at once, I guess I'm glad it's over with, because after today, it's going to be nice and dry as we push in even to the weekend as well.
Fantastic. And I think for you and the folks over in Oshkosh as well, that's exactly what you want, because these are such important events for local economies and for everybody just there to be having a good time. You don't want to have, you know, anything washed out. I mean, and obviously today may be a little bit of a question mark, but as you said, after this, it looks like a really terrific weather week, a real July type summer week, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's going to be nice out there. We are going to be rising into those low to even mid 80s as we push in towards the weekend. So it is going to be a nice one. And I do like the fact that the rain is winding down here across the state, because I've been camping and some of those tents are definitely washed out after some of the storms that rolled through here last night. So any good weather we could take on the weekend, I'm excited about it. But
so what are you doing over there? What is anything in particular catching your eye early on during the air venture?
There is so much to do. Honestly, I want to go take a helicopter ride. Everybody's been talking about it. That's the one thing I haven't done here just yet. The line isn't too long, so I might go do that. But otherwise, I'm really huge into networking, getting to know people. Everyone's super, super friendly. The pilots, the different booths that you can meet. And that's what I like to spend my time doing, honestly. But the air shows were awesome yesterday.
Terrific. And I think you probably have very little trouble meeting a lot of good folks. You seem to be a natural about just being able to go over there and truly connect with folks, and I bet you that's a lot of fun. And one of the aspects of this event as well is they come from all over. You probably see people from all over the country, probably all over the world.
Absolutely. Camping here, I mean, I've got a guy who came up from Memphis, Tennessee, who's next to me. There's also someone from Britain who's here. One is an IT guy and another one's an engineer. They're not even pilots. So they're both EAA members at the campground, having a blast, just soaking it up. So it's really not just for if you're a pilot or if you want to be a pilot one day or something like that. It's for everyone. It is something really cool to see, and people are friendly. Like I was saying, Chad, they're just awesome here.
Fantastic. Well, let's get back to the weather. What are the details here for our Tuesday and as we get to the middle portion of the work week?
Sure. More clouds than sunshine, unfortunately. We are going to see temperatures hitting about those mid-70s for highs today. Little breeze, too, out of the southwest. Otherwise, tomorrow holding into the mid to upper 70s. A lot more sunshine, especially by the afternoon. And then, of course, warming temperatures into those mid-80s as we push into the weekend. But shots of showers are possible today, I want to say, from 1 to 5. But I do think they're going to stay much further south from Wausau. But just in case, throw that out there.
Very good. Well, again, enjoy it. Hopefully the rain will hold off for you and everybody else in Oshkosh today. But have a great
Thank
time.
You.
We'll talk tomorrow.
Bye, yes, Brittany. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
That is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, again from Oshkosh and the EAA Air Venture. Right now in downtown Wausau, overcast skies. Temperature stands at 65 degrees. The winds are out of the northeast at 5 miles per hour. The dew point is 63. Relative humidity of 93%. The barometer at 29.98 inches and a visibility of 8 miles. Coming up, we're going to find out. It's been anything but boring in the news recently. And we're going to find out what's happening with the world and national news headlines with CBS. We will hear from Terry Bell and get our Wisconsin news from Civic Media. Then we'll have local news and weather. And finally, Mike Clemens will be talking about sports. The Brewers were in action at Wrigley last night. The Packers have started training camp, but not on the practice field yet is Jordan Love. We'll get the latest in sports with Mike Clemens as well. And then after that, we're going to be joined by one of the candidates for the 7th Congressional District, part of the Democratic primary coming up in August, and then hoping to take on and defeat incumbent Tom Tiffany. We're going to talk to Kyle Kilborn coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes, along with Ian Welsh. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And again, of course, you can join us by going to the Bow Falls Radio page at Facebook.com. We got a video stream there. You can add your questions and comments and join us that way here on the program. Well, we are getting towards the end of July, and political news is becoming fast and furious, but we're getting close to the August primary and, of course, the November general election, and so many intriguing races throughout the state of Wisconsin, and one in the 7th Congressional District. And Tom Tiffany, the Republican, is the incumbent. Two Democrats are running to replace Tom Tiffany, and one of which is joining us right now. Kyle Kilborn, candidate on the Democratic side for 7th Congressional District. And Kyle, thanks again for coming on the program.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a great morning to be on the show.
I tell you, you know, right after a very busy weekend, I guess I'll ask you right now, because as a Democrat hoping to be on the ticket in November, the top of the ticket this year obviously is the presidential race, and the Democrats, a significant change as President Biden announced he would not be continuing his campaign for re-election on Sunday. Vice President Harris was endorsed by the president, and very quickly it seemed to bring the Democratic Party around, frankly, an amazing quickness to become the presumptive nominee. I guess your thoughts, because obviously as you're out there, you're talking to voters, you're seeing what's been going on in terms of the presidential chatter for the last, three and a half weeks. Your general thoughts on what happened over the weekend and now where the Democratic Party stands going towards November at the top of the ticket.
Yeah. For me, you know, it was always, the president's decision to step aside. And so, you know, it was a decision he felt he needed to make. It doesn't really, you know, change my candidacy. You know, I'm running against Tom Tiffany and he's still running. So I'm still running. You know, there was some voters out there that, you know, weren't as excited to have Joe Biden run again. And, you know, what we're seeing in Wisconsin is that there's a lot of excitement, you know, at the state assembly and the state Senate races. And now, you know, people are excited for, you know, the congressional races as well. And now we're going to have, you know, that equal excitement at the top of the ticket as well. And I think that's going to be, you know, a triple threat for the Republicans going into the election.
And I guess I can transfer this again towards something we talked about previously, the idea of a new generation of leadership. And for yourself as a younger Democrat and somebody that is trying to, you know, begin your path within the party and within elected office, I imagine that, you know, there's got to be an excitement for folks in your generation to see not having two older candidates at the top of the ticket coming to November, because beyond the specific candidates, beyond the race for presidency, there's got to be, at some point in this country, younger leadership, correct?
That's correct. You know, this district is unique in that it is slightly older, and people realize that in the district. You know, I've been to 21 of the 26 counties so far, and it skews older. Like that is part of the district. And so when I come into the room, the first thing I mention is my age, because people think I'm younger. They think I'm younger than I am. I'm like, I'm 46. I'm middle aged here. Like, you know, let's start having some middle aged folks in the room. And so I think people are excited about that. And one thing about this country is we want to move forward. You know, we want to make progress. We don't want to go backwards. And, you know, that is something that, you know, people weren't excited about, you know, 3 weeks ago. And so knowing that there are candidates like myself, you know, I'm middle-aged, but that seems young in this country, which is in this district. And so people are excited. And I just want to make sure that, you know, people know that we're here, we're out to get the vote.
I will congratulate you. You do not look 46. I got to say that. So you almost can still card you at this point, but let's talk about some of the issues. And again, let's talk about it from a voter perspective, because again, when did you actually start campaigning for this office? How long has it been now?
Yeah, I started April 2023. So it's been over a year, you know, 16 months or so. I forget the count of how many months it is. So it's been a while.
When you, again, talk to the voters, maybe, you know, some of the issues, that's a long time. Things can change. There's been a lot of issues that have popped up that were not on the plate back in April of 2023. I mean, you can talk about foreign policy issues that have changed over that time frame. How have the discussions changed with the voters of the 7th since you started this campaign? Have they changed significantly, or are a lot of the same issues still the ones that you're asked about almost immediately by voters?
Yeah, I mean, there's some voters that are focused on the national issues, you know, who's running, you know, wars abroad and things like that. But, you know, consistently, people in the 7th district are worried about issues that are very local, very, you know, here's, you know, healthcare. You know, they're worried about hospitals now that some hospitals have closed close to the district. They're worried about, you know, how they're going to get healthcare, how they're going to access that. They're worried about, you know, housing prices, and those haven't, you know, changed as well. And so those are very local. They're national, but they're also local. And so, you know, those issues haven't changed, and people are still talking about that as I go across the district.
Let me ask you about housing and rent prices, because I read a story just in the last week or so that the president was going to be proposing a ceiling in terms of how much rent prices can be raised. And I'll be transparent. I'm a renter. I don't own my own home. I'm actually a renter. And I got to say, the last couple of times, and I'll be coming up here in the next month or so, I'll be getting the new lease agreement. And the last couple of years, it's been a bit of a sticker shock for myself. What do you think should be done? Do you think that proactive legislation needs to be pushed through, because I know there's a little bit of a give and take at times when it comes to maybe you would call them price controls. I mean, in the history of this country, that's been at times, you know, people don't, the American psyche doesn't kind of go along with that. But do you think that a more active role can be had with the federal government in terms of trying to slow down what has been, I would call, sticker shock the last couple of years when it's come to renters?
Yeah. You know, it is a challenging issue. And I think, you know, the bottom line is we don't have enough housing units available. Like, this, as a country, we are about 8 million units short of not building what we should be building. And so, like, that is the crux of the problem, is we're not building enough. And so, you know, what housing there is, the prices keep going up. And so, you know, we can propose measures to control it on the back end, like, oh, let's make sure that doesn't raise up. But, you know, we actually need to be building more housing.
You talked about the hospital issue as well. And yeah. And one of the things that that I think a lot of folks really want to see is when an issue pops up, something to get done. And I'm going to throw an issue out there, the idea of reproductive rights. It's been more than 2 years now, and we've heard a lot of talk. Again, on both sides, where one's happy that, you know, that Roe v. Wade was overturned, and maybe they want to go further with a national ban. And then we've heard those on the progressive side, the Democratic side, talking about, again, that we need to have put into law protections for reproductive rights. What do you think can be done I kind of make it a little bit broader than I probably should, but, you know, when you talk about issues involving hospitals, when you talk about issues involving reproductive rights, do you think, should you be elected in November, that there is a roadmap to get significant pieces of legislation done that would close some of these gaps, whether it's with the hospitals, whether it's with reproductive rights? As you look forward, maybe, you know, instead of having a candidate hat on, being a legislator, do you think there is the will right now? Because one of the frustrating aspects of, from this point of view, has been, it's been more than 2 years. We've heard a lot of people that have been hurt by what the Supreme Court did more than 2 years ago, but yet we're still talking about it. How difficult is it to go from talk to actual legislation?
Yeah. I think the challenge and what we're seeing and I'm hearing from voters is Congress that doesn't do anything. And so right now it's split. Democrats control half, you know, the Senate, and the Republicans control the House, and neither side is willing to sort of work with each other. And I think that's the crux of the problem, is these big issues. No one wants to sort of, you know, look like they're leaning across the aisle and working together. And, you know, I have a background, I've worked in corporations, nonprofits, and my job was to go into people's homes, listen to them, and then bring their points of view to leadership, executives, and designers and engineers, and say, all right, here's what we're hearing. Let's do something about this problem. And so, you know, that is going to be my ultimate goal, is my success is on how much legislation I can get passed that benefits the people of the district. And so, like, that is something I will be holding myself accountable to, and voters should too. You know, look at your representation. Mm-hmm. If they're not getting anything done, get new representation.
Let's talk about the hospital issue, because again, I just shake my head when you think that we're in the year 2024 and you think of these folks that have to go hundreds of miles to get good health care, or in the case of an emergency, what do you do then? During the time that you've been running, and obviously you said it, you know, people talk about this, what are some ideas that you have that we can, you know, as we get to 2025, that hopefully we can go in the right direction at least? Because again, the idea that, frankly, we've gone backwards in recent years when it comes to opportunities for folks to have great health care at a reasonable distance. And of course, there's always the talk about the prices and all that, but just having the opportunity to not have to travel all those distances. What have you found out in your discussions? What are maybe some ideas that you would like to try to implement moving forward?
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, at the state level, expanding, you know, Medicaid is one of those things that we just need to do it. And that's sort of in the state's hands. So I can't do anything about that. I can't force the state to do that. But that is one easy fix to help our hospitals. You know, part of it is around funding. Currently, you know, what hospitals are reimbursed for patient care isn't adequate because of how they've set up private insurance. And so, like, that's sort of a short-term fix, is like, we have to fund how rural hospitals are reimbursed, because it is more expensive to have a rural hospital. And, you know, rural areas are less populated than other areas. And so, like, making sure that reimbursement level is there is, you know, sort of a short band-aid fix in some ways. It's not going to solve everything, but at least it will keep the hospitals we have open. And I think, you know, long-term, we have to start thinking about healthcare as a right. And how do we fund healthcare is something that we all deserve, and it's a right we have. And so I think, you know, as we look, you know, into the future, like, how do we make sure that the system is for that? And, you know, that is ultimately where we need to go. Most developed countries have healthcare, universal healthcare, and, like, we're the only ones that, like, what are we getting wrong, and where can we learn from that?
How do you connect Tom Tiffany with this issue? Because, again, he is currently the representative. We have seen a backsliding for many folks in the 7th Congressional District when it comes to rural healthcare, not just healthcare, but other rural issues. How do you connect Tom Tiffany with the lack of progress in a number of issues?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the numbers from, like, 2005 to 2010, 43 rural hospitals closed. If you look from 2010 to 23, we had 148. And so this means that over his watch, more rural hospitals have shut down, and he's not doing anything about it. And so making sure, you know, he's the representative in Congress that has the authority to sort of pass bills, you know, supporting our rural hospitals, and he's not doing that.
And finally, again, when you look at the record, because I actually recently I've been thinking, we're not hearing a lot from Congressman Tiffany. I mean, maybe I'm missing it. Maybe he doesn't reach out to me specifically in the way that he should. What are you seeing with the congressman? Because, again, I feel like he's been kind of quiet. Is that what you're sensing as well?
He is. He's doing a lot of posturing. I think his most recent thing that I heard, he wants to rename the Apostles, you know, National Seashore to a national park. Like that's his big plan to sort of at the election time is, hey, now it's not a national seashore, but it's a national park, which is they're the exact same thing. And so he does a lot of posturing to sort of promote, you know, his brand of, you know, doing something in Wisconsin, even though he doesn't do anything.
And I guess finally we got about a minute to go. And again, as we get closer, one of the things that we at Civic Media try to do is to make sure everybody has the information they need to make the vote really count. Where, again, can folks get more information on your stance on many issues that maybe we haven't even touched on here in these few minutes? But where can people get more information on yourself and the issues that you're focusing on?
Yeah, they can visit my website. It's kylekilbourn.com, which is KYLEKILBOURN.com. And there's a link there to my Facebook and social media. You can follow me on there and learn more about the issues.
Kyle Kilbourn's been doing it for more than a year, and we're getting finally close to some votes being counted in the next few weeks. Kyle, again, always appreciate talking to you, and I hope we can talk again real soon.
Oh, of course. Exactly. Thank you.
7th District Democratic candidate for Congress, Kyle Kilbourn. Again, the primary is coming up in just a few weeks. And again, tomorrow we will have the other candidate for the seat, Elsa Naranjo, joining us here on the program. The time is 8:49. More to come. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. What I'm going to say right here reminds me of an old episode of WKRP in Cincinnati because we're going to talk about 98.9 being off the air right now. But there was an old episode of WKRP where a tornado came flying through Cincinnati and it knocked WKRP off the air. And have you seen WKRP by any chance?
I've only seen the one episode I watched with my uncle down in Kansas, and that was the turkey drop episode. Okay. But that was the funny.
So
that was the funniest.
So you know Les Nessman, the news guy. He was the guy that.
Yes.
Okay. Well, WKRP is one of my favorite shows, and during this episode where they had the tornado that knocked WKRP off the air, basically, you know, destroyed their transmitter, Les goes into the studio and announces into the microphone, special report, WKRP has been knocked off the air, and we will keep you up to date on what's happening. And he comes back out, and his program director says, you know, Les, nobody can hear you. You're not, you know, there's, you're off the air going on there and making the announcement that you're off the air. Nobody hears you. And in this case, I know there are people out there because we have these other ways that you can hear me.
Yep.
But if you're tuned in right now to 98.9 FM, you don't hear anything.
Yes.
So for me to tell you, hey, we're off the air, you're not hearing me if you're tuned in right now to 98.9 FM. But so obviously you're out there listening right now either on 1230 AM, you're listening on our website at bullfallsradio.com in our live stream, you're listening on mobile devices, and search WXCO. Go to the TuneIn Radio app or the Simple Radio app, where, you know, a bunch of these apps. We're on all those apps. Mm-hmm. We're on the Civic Media app as well. So again, if there are folks that you know, they're wondering, hey, why, you know, I want to hear what's going on Bull Falls Radio. And yeah, the storm kind of had damaged some of our equipment up at the transmitter site. I just got a message from one of our engineering staff. They are rushing up to out here to Wausau, and we will be heading out to the transmitter site and getting it fixed up. Hopefully, again, knock on wood, it's not major damage, but we expect that we'll be able to get things all set up. But again, apologize for folks who may have tuned into 98.9 at first and said, well, hey, what's going on? Hopefully you said, oh, well, it's 98.9 and 1230, went over to 1230, and we're still there, and, of course, online as well. So, again, we appreciate the patience. We appreciate the fact that you found us wherever we are because, you know.
That's right.
I wake up in the morning to 98.9 FM, and it's like I look at my clock, and it's like, well, shouldn't my alarm have gone off already?
And you woke up to nothing.
And I woke up to nothing, so. Fortunately, I did wake up. Fortunately, I, you know, didn't sleep right through it and be late to get on the air here. But again, we will be working on that, and hopefully sooner rather than later, we'll be back with programming on 98.9 FM. It's like the old days, because back when I first started working for WXCO, it was just 1230. It was not 98.9. It was just 1230, and then we added the translator station and was able to add an FM signal. And if you go back and forth, and sometimes I do that when I'm driving in, I'll go back and forth from 98.9 to 1230 just to make sure they're both on the air and sounding right. And you have a more full sound on the FM side. It's just that FM sound is a little bit different than an AM sound. But again, for talk radio, there's no problem on 1230. So again, hopefully if you have somebody that's a listener of our program, let them know where you can find us, at least here for the next hour or so. But before we get ready for another information update at the top of the hour, let's real quickly, I kind of forgot about this. Coming up this weekend, it's the start of the Olympics. Are you looking forward to the start of the Olympics?
I am. I don't usually watch the Olympics as much as most people do, but I do get updates, and it's actually, the Olympics is always interesting to watch, because it's, I have watched a little bit of it, but I haven't been keeping a close eye on it as probably other people have.
Well, the thing about it this year, I think we're all ready for like a 2-week break from a lot of the news. Because there's been so much going on. It feels like it's almost overwhelming. And I think for here in the middle of the summer, it's nice to have a little bit of a distraction. To be able to, okay, absolutely, let's all come together, root on the American athletes, try to win some gold medals, see some of these incredible talents. And one of my favorites, and I love the swimming, I love Katie Ledecky. I think she is one of the all-time greatest athletes, male or female. She has been doing it for decades now, and she just is so dominant in what she does. I can't wait to see her do it again. I can't wait to see the track and field athletes, and so much going on. And the United States Olympic team did announce who will be carrying the U.S. flag at the opening ceremony. Any idea who it might be?
Oh.
This person is one of the most famous athletes in the world. He has been doing what he does at the highest level for more than 2 decades. He is somebody that has scored more points in his sport than anybody else in the history of his sport professionally.
Oh, gosh. I do not
he
know.
He uses a round ball.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
I will
I'm
give
sorry.
It to you. It is the one, the only LeBron James. LeBron James will be carrying the U.S. flag at the opening ceremony at the Paris Olympics. And I believe the opening ceremonies will be Friday night, if I'm not mistaken. And again, it's going to be, I think, a lot of fun. It's just going to be good, hopefully, for everybody to come together, cheer on our athletes, and maybe take a little bit of a break. And then we'll come back and we get ready for the Democratic National Convention. Yes. And the primary day here in Wisconsin. But I think we can all take a step back.
I think we all need a break from politics for a while.
And you'll get your fill by tuning in the morning when you hear this show.
You will, absolutely.
I'm not going away for the 2 weeks of the Olympics. We're still going to be doing what we do here on Bull Falls Radio.
National news just probably won't be talking about the politics as much as we do.
Maybe. We'll see. Who knows? You never know with the news.
You never do.
But we got another hour to come. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.